podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
So came out by your speakers.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Let's go. Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned in to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, providing the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, and KFGD 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, XRP Radio out of Birmingham in United Kingdom, Rudaroo Radio out of Ocean Beach, San Diego, California, Alt Rock Radio out of Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Unlike normal shows, I actually did a little bit of homework ahead of time. I can tell you that you listened to Feast on the Fallen and their song Waste Moreland. You also heard a new one from Illusions of Grandeur. That song is Demons off of their Siren album. And this is episode number 612, as I mentioned earlier. And with me tonight are three of the members of Corpse God. And there they are joining me now.
How's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. Awesome. So before we get anywhere into the show, you guys just played your first show a couple days ago, correct?
Yeah.
Yep. On Saturday, we play with Roger Rohr, Embalmer from Ohio, and Whorehound. We're local as well here.
I have a Whorehound song scheduled to go on last tonight.
Sweet. All right. They're a great
awesome.
Band.
Awesome.
So real quick, why don't you guys introduce yourselves? Tell us what you do in the band and let us know about the missing member.
Okay, well, I guess I'll start off. I'm Chris Velasquez, but I go under Corpse God for my stage name. One missing member we do have is Seth, our drummer. So he's working right now. But he did definitely wanted to make it here, but unfortunately, work calls. But after you guys.
Go ahead, Andrew.
All right, I'm Andrew Novak. I play guitar. I don't go by any specific stage name. Yeah, so that's what I do.
And I'm Rick Hopkins. I play the bass in the band. No specific stage name either. But the guy at the bottom here, Mr. Corpse God, we've been through a lot. We've been for over 30 years together as friends and off and on bandmates. So. Yeah. Very we started in his other band. We started one band together about 30 years ago. I left, and we started this band 30 years later, and we had our first show in both bands that we started. Yeah, it was kind of monumental, the show on Saturday with that. You know, so it was a real cool deal.
Very cool.
So Chris has been on with as Leprosy a couple times. So he is familiar with the show. I don't know if Rick and Andrew have watched the show, so they may be in for a awakening.
Yes, sir.
So
this is
I don't,
a cherry popper.
I don't like I ask normal questions, but they're not asked in a normal way.
Okay.
I'll start you off with an easy one though. Let's say you're sitting on a bench and you're musical idol sits down beside you and you get to ask one question. First of all, who's sitting beside you and what is the one question that you're going to ask them?
It's all you guys.
And they're all going, that's an easy one.
That's like a loaded question for me. I'm going to have to say Mr. Tony Iommi for me. I'm going to ask him what his favorite riff is in Sabbath that he wrote.
That would take forever. Because he is a riff master.
Yeah. I'm going to ask him a question too. I'm there. I want to know how he can play without the tip of his finger. He has that like rubber. I don't even know what you would call it that he puts on.
He melted a bottle cap over his finger.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, he melted bottle caps originally over his finger and had to fit it to extend it. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
I watched the thing on that, a documentary on Sabbath. I forget what you could find it out there. But they tell you about it. It's what he did.
Yeah, he's missing the tip of his finger. And I don't play, but I would assume that you kind of need to feel it, right?
I guess. Yeah. I mean, like. Yeah, maybe his intuition. I would think that he had maybe just a knowledge of where he was placing, and that might have been easier too, as well, without the feel, just knowing it's going to be there. Maybe that helped him too. Yeah, but that's a question to ask, and that's a good question. Yeah. Definitely. If I was sitting on a bench, geez, there's a plethora of I could ask questions. But I actually had the honor in Tampa of asking the question to that guy standing next to him, that's Steve DiGiorgio, play with Death and Sadus. The guy is an amazing bass player. Not only does he play a fretless, which I pull one out too for the show, but he's just insane, And so the song we were doing, I asked him, any tips, and he said, just have fun.
There we go.
So it was cool. Yeah. Hell of a thing. What about you, Chris?
I already know who Chris is going to be.
Oh, it's always Chuck Schuldiner. It's always going to be Chuck Schuldiner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if I had to ask Chuck a question, probably what got him to go into more technical metal as opposed to keeping the traditional what he started out on. I think his answer will probably be, well, I found better musicians as he went on, so he was able to grow as a musician himself and do more stuff to what he wanted to do. And I think I just answered for him, so cool, I'm good with that.
Okay, so you're leaving your second gig, and as you're loading out, you notice a DeLorean sitting on the side of the road with its door up and a flux capacitor waiting for you to jump in. What point in time are you going to, and what band are you going to hang out with when you get there?
You guys can take that one.
Well, if I was going to be dark and devious, I'd go back and steal Metallica's entire catalog, and that's where I'd be.
Is it the movie, man?
I'm sorry, guys, but that's our material now.
I
would have kept Dave in the band.
Right?
Isn't there a movie where a guy goes? He ends up in an alternate universe and plays all the Beatles songs. I could have swore I saw that.
There is one. There is. I don't know what you're talking about, but he does the catalog. Yeah, and they think it's something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd do Metallica too.
Maybe be smart.
Those are the two options.
Yeah. Just looking at the overall picture at the end, we'll get rid of saying anger though. I'm just going to throw that out there. Sorry.
Oh, God.
What about you, Andrew?
I'd probably go. You're asking a whole bunch of loaded questions for me here, bud.
The next one might not be quite as loaded.
Honestly, probably back in the late 60s or early 70s to see Zeppelin.
That's nice.
Maybe around whenever Zeppelin 2 come out.
All right.
That's back when you could play free Stairway to Heaven in the guitar store.
Right. All right. Well, for me, let's see. I had to go back. If I had to go back, I probably would have go back to Florida around 1983. And hooked up with Shock and Wreck and all that, and I would be the other guitarist of Death right now. Well, at least up until 2000, Probably.
I promised Andrew a not loaded question. All right, so. Well, it's not loaded musically. As a musician, what is the best pizza you've ever had, either on your way to a show, at a show, or after a show?
Oh, God. This is even worse. See, I never really gotten pizza before. Well, yeah, never before a show. It's always like Maggie Brothers or something local, but best pizza I'd probably say would be Conforti's from Irwin. For me.
Chris, your door is opening behind you.
I saw that.
Oh, it's probably my cat. Yeah, it was my cat. Yeah.
Miss Biggins.
Yeah. Yeah, for, pizza for me would probably be either Shelly Pie or even though they're not around anymore, Nigro's.
Niagara's, yeah.
The Niagara's piece of whenever down in North for sales. That would be my two choices there. And Shelley Pye out of Turtle Creek.
Luciano's pizza. I'm an old Luciano's guy. We used to get it all the time before a City Limits show. So I'm sure like one of the shows I've seen were Creator or somebody back in the day. Yeah, I'm guaranteeing I had one of those pizzas at least one time during or at one of the shows.
In case you haven't figured out yet, it's kind of rapid fire. Whatever pops into my head, I ask, and there's no real segue.
Go for it.
What is something that has happened while you're on stage that embarrassed you, but it can't be something you did? It has to be something somebody else in the band you were playing with did. So not necessarily like this band, but
oh shit.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry about that. The FCC is coming at me. I play in another band, Horde Ordeal, and there's a lot of things that go on that are embarrassing in that band, and it's a fun band, trust me. It's not like the way what we play, but like our guitarist will come out in his underwear, you know, and just stand on stage and just underwear and play, you know, and stuff like that. So there's some things when you're doing it for the first time and you look over and you just see like this guy standing in his underwear playing guitar with you. You're like, gosh.
Yeah, I don't have a cool story like Rick. I mean, as far as embarrassing wise, it's more of a technical problem that like other musicians would have on stage. Like they would forget to turn on their metal pedal, and then it would just play like a clean, like we're becoming like hot and powerful. And then all you hear is ring, ring. Like, you know, it's like lack of power. You know what I mean? It's like throws their whole damn thing off. But yeah, it's pretty much it for me on that one.
I mean, I just had my first show the other day with this band, so I don't really have as much experience.
Yeah, we popped
as these guys, so this is true. This is true.
He's a man now. He's a metal man too. He raises his horns happily.
So how did, like, Rick? You mentioned that you've known Chris for like 30 years. So
yeah, since seventh grade, actually.
But how did the band form as a whole? I mean, clearly you mentioned that you two got together, but how did the other two end up coming in?
For me, this was a project thought for Chris. This is something he wanted to do. He actually probably was going to do it by himself if I remember originally. And then he ended up with Seth playing in Leprosy with him. And then it just evolved. He could probably tell you better in that aspect than I could, actually, how this evolved. I tried out. You know, I wasn't guaranteed a spot, but like we started Leprosy together. I was the original bass player with Leprosy for the first, almost 10 years before I moved out of the state. So, yeah, like I said, and then I tried out for this. And then they liked me, so here I am, but. Smart answer.
Do you remember the Life commercials? Mikey likes it.
Yeah. Eat the Pop Rocks too, right? Drink the Coke.
I think Rick pretty much hit it on the head. I mean, yeah, I wasn't sure whether if you're talking about like 30 years ago or, you know, like back then when we were just starting out as kids, and or if you're just talking about right now.
No, as a whole, how did this band come together?
What I wanted to do originally, because I wanted to do, like, branch off from Leprosy, because I've been doing it, you know, something's coming up on 34 years now. Just do something a little bit more different. I mean, it's still heavy, it's still death metal, but it's more in the origin of death metal, where it first started coming out, everything was new, everything was fresh, everything was energy. There was no internet or anything like that. It was just, like, all power and fun and everything, and I just wanted to try to recapture even a little spark of that with this band. And when I first started out, like, as Rick said, I was going to just do everything. I was just going to play all the instruments and just record everything on my own, you know what I mean? But then that would make it kind of tough, obviously, in a live setting. So me and Seth, drummer from Leprosy, me and him started rocking out. And then he introduced me to Andrew to play. And then we were looking for a bass player. Well, Rick actually offered his services before we were even asking for a bass player. But it all worked out. It gelled. We worked, you know, everybody works hard. Like as a group together and on our own. And that's why we're able to pretty much grow fast as a band and be able to get out there and play and record and what have you. So that's kind of where we are with that, with just how we everything formed and where we're going. We pretty much all share the same direction as far as what we want out of a band and what we expect to see out of a band realistically. And yeah, that's pretty much it on that one.
Yeah, hit it on the nail too.
Can you pinpoint the moment where you realized you wanted to be a musician and when you decided you were going to play metal? So it's kind of a two-part question there.
All you guys.
Andrew, you want to get first, man? He's quiet.
Honestly, it all started with early Metallica for me. Like, all right. Ride the Lightning, Kill 'Em All. I just wearing the riffs off there. I love the aggression of it, all the down picking, and just, it's the best way to put it. The continuation of the long songs they have and the energy that was brought out by it, just everything mixed together within the thrash scene that I got in the Testament and recently Death and Obituary and all the old stuff. So,
that's where the heart of metal is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Untainted, unspoiled, just straight raw in your face. Yeah, and I know exactly what you mean there.
Yeah. For me, with music started, I say with my dad. My dad didn't play instruments, but he had a huge album collection of everything, I can say. And constantly, music constantly played in my house. There's not a time. My mom, my dad. At school, we started getting into it. And then the music teacher introduced me to a standing string bass in the fourth, fifth grade. And I enjoyed that. And then I met this guy here in the about seventh grade. And I got I didn't have a bass. I had a harmony guitar with four strings that I played, sitting on a wall with him, sitting on a wall with him, making songs, you know, trying to become something. And then we did. You know, we haven't stopped. I play with multiple bands compared to Chris, but that was because I left and, you know, just spread out. But I mean, he's just kept that band just rolling for years, as you know. But music wise, what really kicked me off in the metal, I listened to Sabbath, but I wouldn't say Sabbath is really what got me to the heavy stuff. I went to Tape World Morovo Mall, walked in, looked up, and I glanced at the tape and I said, I'm going to buy that. And it was Venom American Assault. And I plugged that sucker into the tape thing. As me and Chris left the place, I had a boombox I would take with me. And I walked across the parking lot to walk home from Monroeville to where we live. And Rip Rod came on, and that was it right there. That was it. I went back the next day. And we could thank a gentleman by the name of Dave Blake from a band from the old days of Pittsburgh called Genghis Khan. He turned us on to Venom with black metal.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, too. So, I mean, like, yeah, but Venom was, if you want to talk the heavy stuff, Venom, you know, if you're from the 80s and you're into the heavy stuff, Venom should have been one of the first ones you even touched. That or Celtic, too. I mean, we can go with the Frost there, too. Yeah. Except for Cold Lake and then the other one Venom did, too, The Cherry Red Moon, whatever that was. Those two albums can burn in hell. But the rest of the stuff the guys did, you know, I mean, phenomenal work. And, you know, that'd be me, definitely. You know, they made me want to play like that. They made me want to, like, oh my God. And I still will feel that way. Yeah. And that's what we got with Seth and Andrew, that angst that we had, that we still have. Me and Chris, we're both in our 50s. Yeah. You know, so it's cool. You know, it's cool to have that feel and that pommel to get out there. And that's what Venom did to me back then. And they have it. It's cool.
Yeah. So just to piggyback on what Rick said, so yeah, as far as Seth and Andrew being in a band, me and Rick, we have to drive and all that, but it's just nice to just have people that are hungry in the band, that want to succeed, that want to put it out there and do the best that they absolutely can. Whereas a lot of people have come across, like our age, they pretty much do the bare minimum just to say they play, but they really don't push. And Andrew and Seth, they definitely push and actually pushes us as well. So it's good.
Yeah, okay.
To go back first, what got me into metal, I would say probably Priest, British Steel, and Kiss, Love Gun. That's what got me started on that. And it's I remember
a great album cover on that too.
Well, you know, yeah, just to go off the chest one, that's actually why I bought it. Because me and my father were at a flea market the one time, and I seen, you know, all these painted up guys and all these checks around them. I picked it up, and, you know, just said Kiss Love Gun. I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I want to know what it's about. So I got it, and I played it, and I still listen to it now. So it still holds water now, even to this day.
It's funny. I don't have it now, but it was a record that I owned as a kid, and it was my parents bought it at a flea market and brought it home.
Yeah. That's great. I still remember that day. Yeah. Yeah. So I was Killer and Priest. Same thing. Me and my father, we were at a gas station. The guy came up with a whole box of cassettes. It's like, hey, you want to buy one for $3 or whatever? Father said, pick one up. I seen Priest. I'm like, I didn't know what it was again. I was like, I don't even know how old it was. Maybe 8, 9, something like that. But I was like, all right. And that, you know, that got me started as well. So it was $3 for a cassette then, too.
Hey, they're coming back, so
they are.
What we're gonna do next, I'm gonna give you an MTV moment where you can do a little storytellers. Well, yeah. You can do some storytellers and tell me about Remnants of a Fallen God, and then we will play it, and we'll play a Camp Element song. They haven't been around for
Camp Element, years. Really. It's been a hot minute since I heard that name.
Yeah, it's Camp Element, and the song is Pure Silence. It's off their album, Empty the Seas. So tell me about Remnants of a Fallen God.
Well, I did write a synopsis of it because there's a lot of lyrics to it, so it's kind of hard to – well, plus there's a lot of stuff I probably can't say while we're, you know, airing. But basically it's about a deity from Lovecraftian lore, as well as Christianity as God. And what it is, they collide in an epic battle for supreme rulership of the heavens. Bloody battle ensues in the last robotic millennium. Then is when a new monarchy of celestial planes. And what happens then is the reconstruction of creation, leaving only remnants of the fallen god that used to be in power there. Like I said, lyrically, it's a little bit more graphic, but that at least gives you an idea. It's pretty much an overthrow of a kingdom, but on a way higher level. But it's pretty cool. A lot of blood, a lot of burning, a lot of pain and suffering, stuff like that. That's pretty much us. In a nutshell, that's pretty much that's kind of it.
Well, it delves into the elder gods, sort of like that. That kind
right,
of
yeah, that's it. Yeah, with the Lovecraftian lore. It's like H.P. Lovecraft, like the gods that he created, you know, Cthulhu and things of that nature.
Yeah.
The Abyss, the Void.
Yeah.
But yes, the older gods are about thousands and thousands of years older than any, like Christ or, you know, Allah or, you know, anything like that. So it's pretty much like God against God, and there could only be one, right? At least that's what they say.
Yeah, you have me thinking about Highlander.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to take a minute, and we are going to listen to Pure Silence by Camp Element and Remnants of a Fallen God by Corpse God, and we'll be back with Rick, Chris, and Adam with a few more questions. And by the way, hey, Charlie.
What's up, Charlie? Pull it.
Come down.
Okay, so that was Remnants of a Fallen God by Corpse God, and right before that you heard Pure Silence from Camp Element. With me tonight are three of the members of Corpse God, who just recently played their first show together. I'm going to ask them a couple more questions, and then I'm going to let you guys listen to some more of the refined rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. I don't know if you guys know this gentleman who just popped in, Neil Donnelly. He used to run a podcast called The Drunk Rock Show, and he literally sat and listened to music while I was getting drunk and talked about what he was hearing. And
nice.
It got progressively different as the show went on.
Sure.
What's up, Neil?
Hey, Neil.
Hey, Neil.
How many songs do you guys have written right now that you're playing originals?
Original-wise, we have four originals, and we have more in the works. It's just when we booked our first show, we had to try to get as much material as we possibly could in a short amount of time. So we have four originals and two covers that we currently do. We are working on new stuff now, so I'm hoping. Let's see, it's March. I'm hoping within the next few months we'll have another four songs and get a full length out there.
All right, so. I'm not going to ask the question I was going to ask because catalog probably isn't quite big enough, but I'll tell you what the question was so you can laugh. So the question that was, if there's an apocalyptic event and a handful of humans survive, which Corpse God song will survive? Because only one song from each band can survive and help repopulate the earth.
For me, I would go with Remnants. Definitely Remnants.
That's your type of question, Chris.
For me, it would be Remnants. I don't know what you guys would.
I'd do Dead Yet I Breathe.
Dead Yet I Breathe. Okay, that's not bad. All right.
I didn't expect an answer for that. Both of you had one quick. You had one too, Andrew?
Probably Remnants for me, yeah.
the official Pennsylvania or Build a Scene question. I almost didn't ask it. And it's kind of, it's hard to ask it this week. The question is, who's your Dave Grohl, which means what band would you want to get up on stage with and play one of their original songs? And if you're not under a rock, you understand why that's an odd question to ask this week, but I ask it every week. So we're going to go with it.
Well, for me, it'd be Cannibal Corpse. That's who I'd want to go up with and rock out a song with those guys. If, whenever they first came out, I mean, you know, it was heavy stuff back then, but when Corpse hit the scene, I was like, it brought like a whole new flavor to metal, like much more aggressive. The gutturals, like vocally, like when Chris Barnes was doing vocals back then, I mean, it was just crushing. And yeah, I would definitely love to do that. Get on stage with those guys.
You know, I would like to say Testament. You know, I would definitely like to get up there with them and that, like the early stuff too, Legacy album, like play some Over the Wall or that, you know, definitely something like that.
Good choice, sir.
There's a lot of talent on that stage too, you know what I mean? So it'd just be fun.
Well, it's just all talent on that stage.
Yeah. Andrew's deep in
thought. What Andrew's thinking now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I'd probably pick Lamb of God from their Ashes of the Wake era.
Nice.
Probably. Right. Okay. Yeah, either their Ashes of the Wake era or As the Palace is Burned. That's probably what I would do. Something a little more modern, but.
Hopefully the two easiest questions of the night. What do you guys have coming up?
Speaking about our single that we're going to be releasing, we're going to be releasing it actually on the very same day this airs. So we kind of come, that's a nice little, it ties everything up real nice. So we'll be able to, you'll be able to get that on our website. It's going to be corpsegod.us.
Down there.
Yep, yes it is. And as far as show wise, on May 14th, we're going to be playing with Primate at the Subalpine for their seed release party. And June 4th, we're going to be up to Mohawk Place in Buffalo. And we'll be the headliner up there is going to be Pyrexia. They're a great band. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to playing with those guys.
Heck yeah.
And then, and Rick can correct me if I'm wrong on this, I believe it's June 23rd is Horde Fest.
Horde Fest is June 18th.
June 18th.
Yeah, June 18th. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's going to be at least that's the next upcoming ones. I mean, there's going to be more down the line, but those are the most recent ones that'll be coming up. And I believe that's it. Release coming up May 1st, and that'll be like I said on our official site, corpsegod.us. And I think that's pretty much it, unless I'm missing some guys. Anything?
No, I don't think
so. Not that I know of.
So other than corpsegod.us, where can you be found online? And you mentioned the song is being released the same day as this show. Where will people be able to get a copy of it?
Actually, it's going to be pretty much officially on your corpsegod.us. It's going to be we don't have official Bandcamp set up just yet. So I'm probably have it set up by that point. So I got a couple of days. That shouldn't be a problem. It'll also be available on our Facebook page. That's Corpse God 666. You'll see it on if you look it up on Facebook. That's pretty much going to be the two places I can think of offhand. We might be up on a couple other places, but those would be the main places.
All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me for a little bit tonight.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
For those of you that are hanging out live or listening to the show on all the various stations that I mentioned at the beginning, I do have some more music coming your way. We have A Common Crown and their song Awake. We have another band that's not together anymore. Their song is Feathers, It's Altered the Design off the Undivided album. And then we're going to end things with some Horror Hound. The song is The Kind.
Horror Hound.
When you hear Mr. John, the American Hill Jack Lane, at the end, he's going to tell you about subscribing and following and leaving comments. You'll know that you have come to the end of the show. But that doesn't mean you should stop listening to the stations that you're tuned into, because you never know, you might find your next favorite unsigned and independent band by hanging out for a little bit longer.
Absolutely.
Hey. Speaking of hanging out, guys, don't go anywhere. And those of you that are in the chat, I want to thank you for hanging out with us as well. Make sure you check us out each and every Friday for the releases. The live interviews like this one are usually done on Monday or Wednesday at 9 p.m. We also have two other shows that we do through Build a Scene. Friendly Fire, which is done in conjunction with John Ali Machica from First Angel Media, and Cat, or Admin Lady Cat, and Tiz from XRP Radio, which is xrp.co.uk. We do a live show where we battle songs from the Build a Scene playlist against the XRP playlist.
Nice.
And that one has a floating date. You just have to pay attention to Build a Scene to see when it's coming up. We just did the March show on the 26th. April is going to be on the 23rd. And I have no idea when May will be. Because we have to follow my schedule and it's terrible. But anyway... we also have Three Questions and a Song, which is released on the 1st and 15th of each month. That is any band, any genre from anywhere. It's supposed to be three questions and a song. It's usually more like 20 questions in a song because I like to talk. With that said, this has been episode number 612 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks, Phil.
Hey, thank you. Day one, we go for a ride.
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.